Come on, welcome to BC. We're pumped that you're with us. I hope that you've been able to enter into a time of celebration and a time of acknowledging one true living God and to really know that Jesus is our hope. And I love, even in the message this morning, we're going very similar to where the music lined up. And that happens often, and it's not because we have communicated, and it's just a way that it worked out with Brendan and his team singing songs that line up with the message this morning in regards to, come on, watch this, you having an understanding of who you are in him. Do you really believe that the King of Kings says, Sean Overfell, you're mine? The King of Kings calls me his own. It's crazy. The King of Eternity, the Lord of Lords, the one who is the rock, the one who is the cornerstone, the one who is my deliverer, the one who is my redeemer. He, that one, Jesus Christ, put himself on a cross, and we can believe it this morning to say the King of Kings calls me his own. Listen, I can say he is my deliverer. He is my redeemer. He is my rock. He is my cornerstone. But what does he say about me? He could say a lot of things about me. Sean, I saw your sin this week. Sean, I saw how you treated your kids this week. Sean, I saw how you talked to your wife this week. Sean, I saw what you did at work this week. Sean, I saw. But you know what he says? He says, you're mine. That's what he says. He says, you belong to me, Sean. And the Father comes to a place to adopt us, call us his own as sons and daughters. I mean, I love that we have an idea this morning here at Believers Chapel that God Almighty has such a great love for us that he sent his son to die on a cross for us that we would come to a place to be able to truthfully say, I belong to him. I'm his. I belong. He paid the ultimate price for me. And what a price that he paid. And I'm his. See, can I ask you a serious question before we really get rolling here? What is your identity? Can you believe? Can you really believe that I'm his? Yeah, but Sean, you don't know what I did this week. Well, if we confess our sins, he is just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That's actually to the church. That's to the children of God. That's to us. Isn't it amazing that nowhere we see in Scripture where the adopted father unadopts? Think about it. We may come across to doubt our identity. We may come across to question our identity. Maybe the enemy has tried to sneak in there to get you to doubt your identity. But isn't it the absolute truth that we can ditch that, come back to the absolute foundation of the truth of God's word to know, absolute know, yes, yes, I've repented from sin. I've trusted in him, called on his name for salvation. I know that it's salvation through grace alone. It's not by works. I get it. I know that I'm saved. Isn't it amazing to know that in that you can rest assured that the Father who had adopted you, called you son and daughter, nowhere in Scripture do we see the unadoption process. We see the adoption process only. Jesus Christ on a cross for you and I so that we could come to know him, so that he could come to a place and say, get it. Yeah, you know me. But bigger than that is that I know you and that I call you my own. And I call you a son, and I call you a daughter. What is your identity? Because we're going to get into this morning, and we're looking at this series called Same God, Yesterday, Today, and Forever. And the big idea is that God is faithful. He is faithful, Old Testament God, for all eternity. He is faithful now, forever, in our present, and he is faithful for all eternity. What happens when you can bank into the truth, when you go through testing and you go through proving period in your faith, that you can come and you can bank on same God, yesterday, today, and forever, same God of Scripture who says, I'm faithful. I can't be anything but faithful. It's who I am. God is faithful. Not God has been faithful. Or God, he's not so faithful now, but he will be again. No. God is faithful. Old Testament, today, now, present, and forevermore, we can bank on the absolute truth that God is faithful. And you need to know that when everything is going great. To a point. But the Bible talks very clearly about attesting or attempting and approving. And it's in those moments that you have to know God is with me, man. Last week we talked about same God, he will never leave me nor forsake me. But what happens when you understand then the reality of to break that down even deeper, and I love deeper, and it comes to a place to say he is faithful. And the word faithful means he is loyal. He is trusted. He is consistent. Isn't it amazing that we don't have to guess with God? Wouldn't it be awful? Maybe you are in a marriage or a relationship, a friendship, or whatever it is that you just always constantly guessing. Are they really for me? Are they really towards me? Do they even think about me? And it's this constant, inconsistent guessing game. Isn't it great that we never have to guess with God? He's faithful. He's loyal. He's trusted. Come on, I need you to hear this morning. I had to work last night. I worked till 3 o'clock this morning at the police department, and just driving around, it was just a great opportunity for some quiet, a little bit of quiet. College kids were out in bunches. God bless you, college kids. Love you. If you're on your hangover, I am so pumped that you're here this morning. God bless. There's a lot of them. But in that, we come to a place to realize there's a generation, church, that's raising up that needs Jesus, desperately, desperately needs Jesus. Desperately needs to know their identity. The world will lie. I worked till 3 a.m. and Adam and I, Adam is a deacon here and he's a sergeant in the sheriff's department, and we partner up when I get to work and have great conversation. We went and checked out the baptism stream, the creek that we baptize in next week. It's flowing with great water. We're pumped about that. But it's just great moments of running around with worship in my car and just praying and just having some quiet and just knowing that the reality of today is we need to hear from God today, that we can walk out in the assurance of who we are in him. Because that will be one of the biggest tests that the enemy will bring before you is what's your identity? Because that's how he tested Jesus. Father, we just, God, in this brief moment, God, that you, I know that you can come in by your spirit. You can move in such a real way in our lives. You have our attention, God. We're all ears. We're all in. You have our attention today, God, that you would just speak to us something real, something we need. For every age in this place, God, for every age that's here, speak to us. God, give us ears to hear right now. Right now, give us ears to hear. Help us to pay attention. Clue in. Your word is alive and powerful, God. It's so active and effective that it can rearrange our lives in a moment, God, when we see it for what it is, absolute truth. Man, I would just ask that you would ask God, God, speak to me today. God, my eyes are open. God, my ears are ready to hear. And Father, my heart is ready to respond. In Jesus' name. Come on, amen. Come on, a couple places with me, please. We got a cruise. I didn't finish last service. Not going to finish this service, but we will make our points. I will make our mark. We will hit it. Come on, turn with me a couple places, please. First Corinthians 10. And it's talking about same God yesterday, today, and forever, and with the idea that he is faithful. Even in our seasons of testing, even in our seasons of proving, even in those moments that we know that we are called to endure, he's faithful. As last week, he didn't go anywhere. He never leave us nor forsake us. He's faithful. He's loyal. He's trusted. He's consistent. He's faithful. Don't bank God's faithfulness based off of the faithfulness of man. Don't bank God's faithfulness based off the faithfulness of your husband or your wife. Don't compare God being faithful to mankind's faithfulness. Don't do that. God is faithful, and he is perfect, and he's always faithful. He can't not be faithful. Yeah, but I know someone who's once said that they were going to be faithful, and they were the opposite. Well, that's not God. God is faithful. He is loyal. He is consistent, and he is trusted. Now watch this. Verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10 says this, no temptation will overtake you. Now, please don't misunderstand this word temptation, right? It's not so much talking about a level of sin, because we can be tempted in all kind of areas. The word tempted here, in any reference that we make it today, right? In every place we speak today, it's the same Greek word, and it means to be tested. Your version may say tested, or your version may say proving. Like it's a proving period. Like we will go through testing periods. We will go through proving periods. So this, don't mistake this as, well, I'm tempted by sin. No, this is deeper than that. This is a testing of our faith. This is to see what you're really made of. This is to see, can we go through something that's always just the high seasons, or can I dig in the deep seasons? Can I dig in the difficult times? Is my faith really consistent when everything's going wrong? Where am I in the season that God has me in? Where am I? Am I being tested? Am I being proven? Am I walking in endurance? Am I continuing to trust in Him? See, that's when we really figure out who we really are. It's not when everything's going great, but when it's being tested. No temptation has overtaken you, but such is common to man. Watch this. And God is faithful. Circle that, highlight that, underline that. God is faithful. God is faithful. Can you believe that? Man, I'm struggling. Man, I'm going through a difficult time. Been a heck of a tragedy. Man, I lost my job. Man, I lost my family. Man, and we could go down this whole list. But I think that in testing seasons, I think honestly, three of the most powerful words that we can bank on, that we can trust in, that we can anchor our soul to is that God is faithful. God is faithful. God is loyal. God is consistent. God can be trusted. And when we anchor these three words to where we're at in our testing, we anchor these three words to where we're at in our tempting, we anchor these three words to any seasons of our life to say, God, what I know is you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's not like you were faithful to those in the Old Testament and faithful to some in the present. But no, he says that he is faithful. Watch this. God, who speaking of God, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. And I love because there's some that will say, well, God will never put more on your plate that you can't chew. Can I just be honest? Believer's Chapel was way more than I could chew. We started in our living room just 10 years ago. And without God, I love to think, well, we try to do things ourselves. Yeah, he. Listen, trust me, if you've got a God dream or a God idea and God's putting something in your plate, it's way bigger than you're capable of. Let's just say that, right? Let's just say without God's help, you can't accomplish it. Without God's help, you can't complete the assignment that God's given you unless he shows up to know that he is faithful to do what he's put in charge for you to do. So this whole idea of, well, God will never give me more than I can handle. Yes, he will, because then it's banking on him to get it done. As we talked last week, he gave Gideon way too much that Gideon can handle for the whole idea to realize, hey, can't do it yourself. I gave you way too much so you know that it's me. So don't buy into this where we go through something that we watch this now, that we think that there's a quick fix. Well, God said that he'd never give me more than I can handle, so why am I walking through this? I thought this thing would be over in a day. Watch what the actual Bible says. Watch this now. But the temptation will, watch this, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation, watch this, will provide the way of escape. God will provide the way of escape. Again, cannot do it on myself. God's going to see me through this test. I am trusting in him. I'm banking on him. I'm relying on him. Why? Because I know that God is faithful. What happens when you bank into those three words? Can you say those with me, please? God is faithful. Now that you're awake, one more time. God is faithful. Woo! Love this late service. Here we go. Check it out. Watch what it says. Come on. Temptation. He will provide the way of escape also so that, watch this, so that you will be able to endure it. And when you think of the word endure, it means to persevere. It means longevity, right? It means to press in. This is what endure, one who has endurance, one who perseveres, one who doesn't quit, one who digs his heels in. You know what we would love endurance to mean is quick fix. Well, man, I just thought this was just going to be a quick fix. We have the quick fix God. No, actually, God says, listen, you're going to go through testing periods and you're going to have to be proven. And guess what? You're going to have to dig your heels in and you're going to have to endure and you're going to have to persevere. And it may take a little bit, but you know what? You can bank on and rely on and trust in that God is faithful. This is what he's saying here. Listen, in those moments and seasons that you are tested, in those moments and seasons that you are tempted, in this moment and season that you are being proven, you come to a place going, listen, I don't know the end game. I don't know where this thing is going to be. I'd love it to be over tomorrow. Probably not. My timing isn't God's timing. His ways are different from my ways. But what I do know that I'm going to have to persevere. I'm going to have to really endure. I'm going to have to walk in endurance. And I know there's probably not going to be a quick fix for this, but I know that God is faithful and that God is loyal. And that I can trust in him. So no matter what it looks like, I know that he is going to provide the way of escape. I know that. I love it because his responsibility is to provide the way of escape. You know what your responsibility is? Endure. God didn't say, I'm going to endure it for you. No. He says, I'm going to provide the way of escape. But I need you to hold fast. But I need you to persevere. I need you, listen, this is a testing period. This is a proving period. You're going to come out better for it. You're going to come out different for it. You're going to come out changed for it. You're going to come out with amazing growth through this. You're going to come out on top. But what I need from you is to persevere. This is what God says. God said, listen, I am faithful and I'm going to see you through and I'm going to be the one to give you the way of escape. But through all of this, what I need from you is to endure. What I need from you is to not look for the quick way out. What I need for you is to not look for the quick fix. But I need you to dig your heels in and trust me. Come on, Hebrews with me, please. Because to know that we are going to go through a testing period, and we are going to go through a proving seasons. And maybe you're in a place like, man, I'm in a good spot, man. I just, things are rolling for me. I'm really walking good, and I'm feeling really good in my faith, and I'm good. Well, amen. And that's a great place to be. And in that, don't forget God got you there, and don't forget to praise and worship on the highest mountain, right? But there will be moments that you go through difficult things. And in those moments, just remember, God is faithful. Three words, God is faithful. He's loyal to me. He's faithful to me. I'm going to endure this, but he's going to give me a way out. But it's amazing. Watch this. We're going to see this afternoon. We're going to see. I only got 10 more minutes, man, a few more minutes. And I want to show you something in regards to Jesus, who is our King, who left heaven, came to earth. He lived 30 years. We hear about him when he was born. We hear about him when he was 12. And then we really hear about him when he turns 30. And yet there's times that we read scripture and we forget that he came 100% man. And yet still maintaining 100% God. And I think that can just get a little crazy. In my mind, it can get a little crazy. What do you mean 100% man? And what do you mean 100% God? Yet he had both, and he did both with perfection. He did both with great innocence. Isn't it amazing? Watch this, church, to know that, yes, God is faithful and he's loyal, but he's given us this amazing picture. He's given us one who says, listen, I've been there. I've done that, been tempted in every way that you've been tempted, tested in any way that you've been tested, and I've done it without sin. And he says this, watch this. This is the 100% man part of Jesus. Listen, I had to do all that so that I could be an aid to you in your season of testing. What an amazing father we have that he would send his son, yes, to die on the cross. Yes, that was his assignment to do God's will. But yet he had to be one that we could trust in when we go through our different seasons and say, Jesus, you've been here. You know exactly what I'm going through. You know exactly where my mindset is. You know my emotions. You know my feelings. You know exactly what's happening. You've been there. You've done that. And I just need to trust that you will get me through. Watch this. This is so good. Don't miss this, please. Watch this. Hebrews 2, 18. Since he himself, that's Jesus, was tempted. Again, same word in 1 Corinthians 10. It means tested. Jesus was tested in that which he has suffered. He is able. Watch this. He is able. Jesus is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. I love this because Jesus was tempted here on the earth. Jesus went through his seasons of testing. He went through proving, like, again, 30 years, man. We had 30 years. Psalm as a baby. Psalm was 12. Whoop, that's all we got. But when he hit 30, we see him come out now, and he comes to a place to show his authority, to show that he's the Messiah, to show his compassion, to show his love, to show that he is the Son of God with power and might, doing God's will over and over, doing what the Father told him to do. This is Jesus. We see this amazing outcoming of Jesus Christ at 30 years old. We know the first miracle was water to wine, but what took place before that? See, and I encourage you, I love to study the Bible and I love to do Bible studies, but I'd rather teach you how to study the Bible so that you can always be in a Bible study yourself, always. So when you're reading scripture, you've heard me say this over and over and over, when you read scripture, ask questions. Okay, if he was tested in every way that we are so that he can come to our aid, well, where was he tested? Well, where was he tested? I just want to read this quickly. It's Hebrews 4, 14, 15, and 16. You can just flip a page. It's right there. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, and I just get this picture of him leaving heaven, coming to earth, Jesus, the Son of God. What was Jesus' identity? Son of God. I left the heavens. I left eternity. I left forever being with together, three in one, but yet God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all three in one, but yet he left that to come to the earth. He had to know his identity, that he was the Son of God. 100% God, yet still 100% man. Wow, this is huge. You got to get this. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession that we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness. Again, 100% man. But one who has been tempted or tested in all things as we are, yet without sin. What an amazing statement that Jesus says, listen, hey, Obergefell, I've struggled with the same thing you've struggled with. I had to go through my testing. I had to go through my proving. I have been there, done that. You can't say that you've ever dealt with something that I've never dealt with. For what purpose? So that he can come to the aid. Come on, how much does he love us that he put himself through testing and through temptation in every area known to you and I for the whole purpose that he would be able to come to the aid to those who are being tempted? Come on, how much does he really love us to go through that? So you come to this place, watch this, you come to this place. If you would turn with me to Matthew 4, because again, you ask questions and you ask questions and you ask questions. And my question is, well, what was he tested in then? If he was tested in every way we were, I want to know where the Bible says that he was tested. In Matthew 4, we get an incredible picture of Jesus who, this is the very, very, very beginning of where he begins his public ministry. And then Jesus was led by the Spirit, Matthew 4, verse 1, into the wilderness to be what? To be what? Wait a minute, let me get this straight. You left heaven, we see you as a baby, and then we see you as 12, and then the very first thing that we see is when you're starting your public ministry is that you were led by the Spirit into the wilderness for the purpose of being tested. What? Fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. In verse 3, and then the tempter came. Here's the enemy. Here's Satan, who by the way, Jesus actually created and knows Lucifer and knew Lucifer in the heavens and kicked actually the devil out of heaven like a bug. It's very familiar. There's no surprise. Don't think that this is their first encounter because they're very familiar with one another. And then the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God. And then verse 6, he says to him, if you are the Son of God. And I look at this, and again, the word tempted, it means testing. And you can certainly look into the three areas that he was looking at, you know, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh. And you come to a place, but what was the ground? What was the foundation here? And I love this because I see, okay, where was he really? What was the enemy trying to get to? Did the enemy care that he was going to turn rocks to bread? Listen, the enemy knew that he was a creator. The enemy knew that he was there in creation. Listen, it was a snap for Jesus to say, okay, rock turned to bread. Whoop, big deal. If you are the Son of God, what did the enemy go after here? He went after Jesus' identity. Listen, where at times are you most tested at your identity? Where is it that you really come to a place to really deal with, am I really a child of God? Man, it didn't look like it last night. It didn't look like it last week. And man, yes, there's this thing to walk in obedience. Yes, there's this thing to holiness. Yes, there's this complete, fully truth idea of avoiding sin and hating sin and loving Jesus and watching a transition take place where really we walk in a place to honor God and everything we think, say, and do. 100%, absolutely. But man, isn't it amazing that the enemy comes and says, I really don't think you're saved. You know, maybe you were once, but you're not now. And you come into this place, and the enemy just, what did he try to do? If you are the Son of God. Man, he went right after Jesus' identity. How is it, church, that you come to a place to know your identity? The place you work is not your identity. I am a police officer, and I'm a pastor. I'm a father, I'm a husband, and I'm a friend. That's not my identity. My identity is I am a child of God. That's my identity. I'm not identified. Watch this. You're not identified by your sin. All have sinned and fall short. Listen. When you're not careful, and yes, sin can wreck your reputation. Of course, sin could have grave consequences. No question, and it does. But our identity is in the blood of Christ. Our identity is that we're forgiven. Past, present, and future. Same God. Yesterday, today, and forever. My identity is to repent when I sin. And you guys are worried about the big S sins. Like, well, I didn't do this or I didn't do that. Really, because the Bible says to do all things without complaint. Let me repeat that again. To do all things without complaint. Like, how many people were flicking somebody off in the parking lot under the covers because they took your parking spot, right? And nobody here, I'm sure. Nobody complained that you had to park way out there, or no one complained that the milk was warm or stale. No one complained that the fridge was left open. Isn't it amazing that we can really think about the big sins, but we forget that the Bible says to do all things without sin? Can I promise you, there ain't nobody in this church that walked on water this morning. So what is our identity? Watch this. You got to get it, because the enemy wants your identity to be attached to your sin. The enemy loves to just keep pounding and pounding and pounding. Are you really a child of God? Did he really adopt you? I don't think he wanted you. I think he unadopted you. I think your sin is taking you out. And watch, if you don't know your identity, the enemy can come in and test you and try to prove you and try to take you out unless you understand. No, my identity isn't my sin, because my sin has been covered by the blood of Christ. Yes, my responsibility is to repent. Yes, my responsibility is to confess. Yes, absolutely. But my sin is not my identity, because my identity falls that I'm a child of God. And I'm a child of God because the blood on that cross was shed for me. And in that, my sin is forgiven. And my identity is in Christ. Church, you got to know your identity, because that is where the enemy will come. Just as he tested Jesus in his identity, he will come and he will try to test you according to your identity. Do you know that I am God's son. And I belong to him. Yes, my sin breaks my heart, and my sin breaks the Father's heart. And we work on our sin and we repent from our sin. But watch this, it doesn't change your identity, church. Your identity isn't you being a husband. Your identity isn't you being a wife. And maybe that's just not going so great. Your identity, if you know Christ as Savior and Lord, your identity is I am a child of God. And you can come after that enemy and you can try to test me in that and you can try to prove me in that just like you did to Jesus. And he went through it. Do you know in Matthew it says an angel had to leave heaven and be assigned to Jesus so that he would be encouraged? Because watch. You think it was easy for Jesus? You think that was just a breeze? That an angel had to leave heaven? Could you imagine that scene in heaven where the angel, listen, Lucifer was well known. Lucifer, it's spoken that Lucifer was the worship leader of heaven. Lucifer had a following. Lucifer took a third of all the, listen, he's well known. Could you imagine the angels that stood strong? The angels that came against Lucifer going, no, we will not rebel. No, we will not reject. And they come to a place to surround the throne of God. Could you imagine where they see their Lucifer, who is now called Satan, the tempter and the devil, down there with Jesus? Going, ha, breadcrumbs, who do you think you are? Are you really the Son of God? If you are the Son of God, then you need to do this. Could you imagine the angels going, come on, God, let me at him. Jesus is struggling. Can I go? Don't think that you're the only one struggling. When we see Jesus had such a struggle with this, that an angel had to leave heaven just to minister or encourage Jesus. Not easy. We're not called to the quick fix. We're called to endure at every age. At any age, we're just called to endure. If you know Jesus, you're called to endure. I don't care if you're 12 or 112. If you know Jesus, you're called to endure. You're called to persevere. You're called to know your identity. When the testing comes, know your identity. Man, we got to fly. I got one more point. If you would look into the account where Jesus is in the garden, because I'm asking, okay, where else were you tested? Okay, you were tested in your identity. You passed. There was a struggle, but you passed. You endured. You persevered. And then we look at the garden. When this is, watch this, church, watch this. He was just moments before being arrested. And he's in the garden with Peter, John, and James. And he's like, listen, guys, you got to come with me. I'm struggling. Isn't it amazing that we see Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, yet 100% man struggling? Well, it's foolish for us to think, well, he never struggled. Did you read this? He struggled. Never sinned. Always perfect. Always without sin. But he knew, I am putting on flesh. And I am becoming man. For the sake of the fallen. For the sake of my creation and mankind. I will struggle in the same ways that they struggle. So that they will know, I will come to your aid because I'm faithful. And he's in the garden and he's on his face, and Peter, John, and James were up night all. They were up late the night before, or whatever they did, they fell asleep. And you wonder, like, God, what are you guys doing? But probably you and me would be there sleeping. Jesus struggling all alone on his face, crying out to the Father, sweating like drops of blood. The Bible says that he's in agony. That's a struggle. Jesus is struggling. He's in agony. And then he cries out something that is, that I look at it and I'm amazed at how real Jesus is. My Father, if there is any other way, take this cup from me. What? But Jesus, we know in the Word of God that if you don't go to the cross, we have no hope. So what was, in that moment of your struggle, what was plan B? Because if that came true, then you and I have no hope. Isn't it amazing how real Jesus becomes when you see him as one who is 100% man, yet still 100% God, and he's on his face going, is there another way? And you know what his test was? Watch this now. First, his test was his identity. And then secondly, his test is his assignment. How many times have your assignment been under test? And the assignment here, he says, okay, not my will, but your will be done. And he does this three times. Church, when you see Jesus is struggling, Jesus is hurting, Jesus is in agony, comes to the Father once, is there any other way? Comes to the Father again, is there any other way? Comes to the Father a third time. Again, watch. Church, this is moments before it begins. Moments before the arrest. Even up to that last moment, he's being tested in his assignment. How many times do you get to the door of your assignment? And watch this. What's the assignment? Not my will, but let your will be done. In everything in your life, it's God's will to be done. That's the assignment. It's not difficult to figure out, what is my assignment? Do the will of God. What is my assignment? Do the will of God. How many times do you come right there? You're right at the door of his assignment. You know what his will is, and you're about to walk through, and you stutter, step, and hold. I don't know. God, I don't know. Is there any other way? God, I don't want to stop in my assignment, but God, I know that I'm right there. Listen, Jesus knew he was right there. He was right on the edge. He was moments away from fulfilling his assignment. And hey, is there any other way? He wasn't worried about the beatings. He wasn't worried about the bloodshed. He wasn't worried about the whippings. You know what it was? For the first time in all of eternity, for the very first time, we can't even figure that out, church, that the Father would have to turn his back on his Son and abandon his own Son for his wrath to be poured out on him. So it doesn't have to be poured out on me. And in this very real moment, Jesus is struggling. But he comes to the conclusion in his assignment. Let your will be done. And it's amazing in Luke 22, it doesn't say in Matthew 26, but in Luke 22 we see where another angel leaves heaven at this point to encourage Jesus. Isn't that amazing? To know, Jesus, I'm not the only one that struggles. I'm not the only one at times that doubts my identity, because the enemy is just ruthless, and he just keeps hitting, and he just keeps hitting, and he keeps hitting, and doubt wants to show up. And Jesus, I see that I'm not the only one that struggles in regards to my assignment to do the will of the Father. So can you come to a place to say, Jesus, I need your help? Because you're faithful. Because you're loyal. Because I can trust you. Church, I hope you're getting this. This is so real. Because everybody struggles. Everybody's tested. want you to see this. Hebrews 4, the last verse, 16 says this, therefore, because we know that he has been tested in all things, because we know that he comes to our aid, therefore let us draw near with a confidence. Let us draw near with a confidence. And I love where the Bible says in Peter, let us draw near, because when we draw near, he draws near to us. When we draw near to him, and we have a Father who draws near to us by his Spirit. And I love this, watch this. Therefore, let us draw near with a confidence. Isn't it amazing that your confidence can't be based on you? My confidence has to be based on his faithfulness. If I have my confidence in man, I fail. If I have my confidence in a system, I fail. If I have my confidence in myself, I got this. No, I'll get through it. No, I know. I can do this. No. I'll do this on my own. Fail. You see, he's saying, listen, your confidence isn't in you. Your confidence isn't in your crew. Your confidence has to be that I know that my God is faithful. That's where my confidence lies, is that he's loyal and that he's faithful. Let us draw near with the confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace in time of need. I just had 12:30. We're already over time. But if you would give me 5 minutes, please. We're over time, but I need 5 minutes. And I look at our students, and even drive around last night, and even talking to Renee this week. I look at our students in this church, and we have such a young church. And I look at 12 and up, those who really going into school, or I say 12 and up because that's what's usually in our adult service here. If you're 12 and up, and if you're in college, like, and I'm not talking about you, an adult student. I'm talking about if you are going in your homeschool, if you are going into middle school, if you're going into high school, if you are in college as a college-aged student, I just ask that you would stand to your feet, please. We did this in the first service, and I want to take 5 minutes because this is what I want to do. I want to pray over you because this is real. Because the enemy will come, and he will come after your identity in college. Do you realize that in college is where most confusion happens in the mind of a person who loves Jesus? It's in college. Why is that? Because when you realize what the Bible says about your testing in college, he's going to come up. Come on, the enemy is going to blast you in your identity. No longer under the parents' covering, no longer under the anointing of your home, no longer in that church you grew up in, and you're all by yourself in college, and the enemy will ram you, and he will ram you, and he will ram you, and he will get you to be confused so that you lose your identity in your own mind, and you forget who you are. The biggest loss in church is the college age, because we go off and watch it. The biggest test, just as Jesus was tested, you're in great company in that he's going to come after your identity, who you are. And this morning, man, I'm telling you, this afternoon, we're coming to a place, Sam will remind you of who you are, that you are a child of God, and you are one who belongs to him. And when he has adopted you, he's not going to ever unadopt you. And I'm telling you, we are fighting for this generation. And I love the idea of the generation that's in this church, from young people all the way up to college students. We love you, and God does have a plan for you. And we're so pumped that you are here. And if you're going in to high school, and you're going in, man, you have to watch as you can't lose your identity, and you can't come to a place to lose your assignment. Your assignment is always to do the will of God. Young person, you're starting something and you're going into high school and you're in college. Your assignment is still to do his will and not your own. But let your will be done. What if you did that every day, every morning? God, let your will be done. Man, I had a horrible night last night. I walked in sin. God, I am sorry. Forgive my identity is in you. It's not in this sin. This has been covered in the blood. God, today's a new day. And today, God, I will do your will. that your will be done and not my own. What if that was an everyday claim? But I need you to do something for me, man. I need 4 more minutes. I know that was a really long 1 minute, but it's worth it. I need you to just come up front because we're going to pray over you, please. And I very, very rarely do this, but if you're standing, I need you to come up front. And I need the home group leaders and the leaders, and we're not going to be able to lay hands on everybody, but this is just a statement. It really is. It's an acknowledgement. God, I heard you today. God, I heard, look at church, look at the young people in this church. It blows me away. I don't care. Come up on the stage. Do whatever you got to do. Wow, go 2 levels. Come up. Some come up. Some stay down. If you're a leader at Believer's Chapel, if you're a home group leader, if you're a youth leader, just come up here, please. We're just going to acknowledge this. I'm going to pray over you. And I just want an atmosphere up here of leadership that just says we love you. We support you. Know your identity is in him. Wow, come up here, please. You need to come up front. This is so good. I know it's long. Bear with me. It's worth it. We just talked about endurance. So endure. You can't see me. I'm laughing behind everybody. Let's just stretch our hands towards him and just believe. Listen, young people, you got to get it. Your identity is in Christ. You will be tested. I'm just asking you to stay strong. I'm just saying endure. Your confidence isn't in you. The school is going to try to get your identity off, going to tell you who you are. You are a child of God. You belong to the King of Kings. And he says, you're mine. I paid for you. I bought you back. I'm not looking at your sin level. I'm looking at who you belong to. You're mine. I paid for you on that cross. You belong to me. Your identity is in me. That's who your identity is. It's in Christ. And your assignment is to do my will. You will be tested and you will have to be proven. But God says, listen, endure it, persevere, stay strong, dig your heels in, and know I will come to your aid. I will see you through. I will give you the ability to overcome. But you need to stand strong, and you need to endure, and you need to persevere. Know your identity is in me. That's what God says. Listen, you belong to me. I've adopted you. You are my son, and you are my daughter, and you belong. That's your identity is in me. That's your identity. Your assignment is to do his will. Assignment is to do as well. Father, God, we thank you for this generation. Lord, we're in awe right now. God, I'm in awe right now. I have no idea how many come to this church. But God, I'm in awe right now. And God, I ask that you would move in this generation in such a real way. That God, they would never lose their identity. God, even though they'll struggle with it as Jesus struggled, they'll endure, and at the end, they will know, I'm a child of God. I'm his. He's called me his own. And God, just as Jesus struggled with his assignment, God, that they would do your will. Do your will and not their own. And they would endure. God, that this is a generation that will change the generation behind them, God. God, this is the generation that will be so effective and so vibrant in you and so passionate for you that they will be the generation that changes the generation that comes behind them, God. And we just ask that you would bless them and keep them. Father, your face would shine upon us. They go into a new season of school. They go into new relationships in school. New teachers, new classrooms, new associates. God, that you would bless them and keep them. Your favor would be towards them. God, they would stand strong and endure. We ask this in Jesus' name. Come on, amen. Amen.